Happy Thursday, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to the latest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. No Tommy Burch today, no Brent Bloom, no Adam Gray. This is kind of the new way we are going with the podcast. Now, you're going to hear from those guys throughout the 2014 Iowa State football season. You're going to hear through them throughout basketball. We've got our radio shows upcoming as well. But, you know, the podcast took off so much last year when we hit the number one spot in the college sports section of iTunes. We thought that this is clearly a medium that you fanatics want more of. So we've invested in the offseason. We're currently looking for sponsorships for the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. If you want your business and your message to be heard and seen by tens of thousands, shoot us an email. We've got contact lists all over CycloneFanatic.com, or shoot me a private message even. You can send me an email directly at ChrisMWilliams@CycloneFanatic.com. But we're going to do more of these podcasts. We're going to get your favorite former Cyclones on. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. Frankly, I've been inspired by Bill Simmons over the course of my career. Bill Simmons from Grantland, ESPN.com, of course. He has been an inspiration to me. He is, you know, the guy is somebody I really look up to. And we want to be that for Iowa State and potentially someday for the Big 12. So we're putting our chips, as Paul Rhodes would say, all in on the podcast. And today, we have a very special guest for really the first installment of the podcast where, folks, we can have people on the phone now. We're going to the next level here. We're excited about this. And former Iowa State quarterback, former NFL quarterback, guy's been everywhere, Sage Rosenfels is going to be our first guest today. We thought it was fitting to bring Sage on in the week where the questions revolving around Iowa State's quarterback situation for the 2014 season have finally been answered. Sam Richardson is going to be the guy on August 30th against North Dakota State. So we're going to get Sage Rosenfels' opinion. After that, I'm going to bring on a former intern of ours. Now, he's currently pretty much the brains behind the entire operation here on the podcast. Yeah, Matty Van Winkle, and we're going to talk about, you know, the technology behind our podcast and some plans that we currently have going forward. I want you to learn more about what we're trying to do here, so that way you guys can hit me up with emails or on the forums, and you can say, hey, we want this, and Matty and I can take a look and see if it's doable. So I'll talk with Sage Rosenfels, then Matt Van Winkle will join me to round out the podcast. But again, you know, this is a new deal. We're not the days of Bloom and I just recording one podcast at 6 o'clock on Monday night. Those are behind us. This is going to be multiple podcasts per week, and we're going to do our darndest to get back up to number one on the iTunes chart, and we want this thing to really take off locally as well. Before we get to Sage Rosenfels, though, I want to do a quick reminder. Coming up on Saturday night, one of our biggest parties of the year, we will have the Cyclone Fanatic Iowa State football kickoff party, in which we will give away a pair of season tickets. That's right. A pair of season tickets. We're giving them away. And all you have to do, if you buy a beer, and you get a ticket to go into that drawing. Now, chances are you're going to go there, you're going to buy a beer anyway. So not only do you get the beer, but now you have a shot to win season tickets to Iowa State in 2014. We also have a big one of those neon Bud Light signs we're going to give away courtesy of Benchwarmers in Ankeny. That's where the party's at. Starts at 6 o'clock. We're going to have live music from Mute. They play some country. They play some rock. One of my best friends in the world, Chris English, is the lead singer. So look forward to that. Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, our Iowa State football sponsor, well, not the Iowa State football sponsor, but the Cyclone Fanatics coverage of Iowa State football. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive giving away two Iowa State rugs. And last but certainly not least, Campus Town Gear. The guys at Campus Town, they're going to be there with a booth, maybe giving away a t-shirt or two as well. So that's Saturday night, Benchwarmers in Ankeny. I would encourage you to get there relatively early because it does fill up. You give away season tickets, a crowd tends to show up. So look forward to that. All right, let's do it. Let's get to former Iowa State quarterback Sage Rosenfels here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Sage, I think it was very fitting to bring you on this week based off of everything that's gone down in Ames. Iowa State obviously naming its starting quarterback earlier this week in Sam Richardson. But before we go there, I want to talk to you about your budding television career, my friend. You and usually my co-host here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, he's working right now, but Brent Bloom, you guys will be broadcasting the Iowa State-Texas game coming up in Austin. I believe that game is in October. Congratulations on that, my friend. And tell us a little bit about that, your television aspirations. I'm fascinated by this, being a media guy. I wish you nothing but luck, but is this something you're wanting to do more of in the future?
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, this summer I attended the NFL's broadcast boot camp over just east of Philly in Montclair, New Jersey, or Mount Laurel, New Jersey, excuse me, and you know, sort of learned that the tricks of the trade of doing color for games or doing in-studio work or interviewing somebody at a sporting goods store, and sort of put you through all the different aspects of TV and radio broadcasting. So I had a chance to do about a quarter of a game, of an NFL game, watching the game with Kenny Albert as the play-by-play guy, so that was a great experience. And after that camp, I got a couple of phone calls. I did some NFL network work about two or three weeks ago. They went 2 days on there and talked about, you know, different training camps and things going on around the league, and did 2 3-hour episodes out in Los Angeles for that. And obviously got the phone call to do the Iowa State Texas game, which is going to be my first, you know, color or analyst experience. And so, you know, I'm definitely going to be a little raw. Hopefully I'll try to practice or something before then with a friend, or maybe with Brent or something, and get something figured out. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the broadcasting thing. I do like to talk about football. It's something I know probably too much about, and something that I like to teach people a little bit about the game and, you know, sort of the things that are going on and how plays are good or bad.
Okay, here's an offer for you, my friend. So Bloom hosts our Thursday night radio show with me on KXNO here. You just come down and you do a show with us, and then we'll get the television on mute or something, and you and Bloom can work on your chemistry together, watching like a Mac game on a Thursday night. How's that sound?
We might do that, and of course, you know, Jesse Palmer is an old friend of mine. We came out the same year. It'd be always nice to mute him for a couple hours on Thursday night as well. So yeah, we do need to try to get together and do a little practicing before then, but. It's also fun just because we're playing against Texas. It's not like, you know, we got the one AA school to start off with. We got, you know, really the biggest school in the Big 12 Conference to get our feet wet, I guess. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'll do my best to give the audience a pretty good show.
What is a broadcasting camp like? Because when I think of camp, I think of, like, you know, American Pie and band camp, and I think of, like, church camp that I would go to. Do you guys have, like, dormitories? How does that work out?
No, I think we stayed in a pretty nice hotel.
Oh, okay.
And so it's, you know, 5 or so minutes away, and you know, they bust you, or van you, I should say, over to NFL Films, you know, the great, you know, Ed and Steve Stable NFL Films spot, and they have all the different aspects of stuff there that you can do, and you know, there's classroom work. Generally starts with, you know, James Brown was sort of the MC. And they have different people from all the sort of major networks, from ESPN, CBS Sports, NBC, NFL Network, you know, the Big Ten Network. All these guys and women were there sort of to teach you different aspects of what they do and what they're looking for. And, you know, you can tell that they're teaching, but they're also doing a little bit of recruiting, which is sort of what happened to me. You know, they're looking for the guy who's got the next, could be the next talent for them, and they continue to tell you it's a lot more work than people ever thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, for the most part, I think one time they said, you know, all the work you do, about 90% of it you don't actually use, you know, especially for, you know, doing a game. You're going to do hours and hours, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days of research before a game, and it's over and done in 3 hours, and you talk about one-tenth of what you actually research. So it's definitely a real job. It's not one of those that just show up on Saturday or Sunday and just call a game. And, you know, they, of course, the fans expect you to know who the backup right guard is and who the special teams players are and all the stats and those types of things, so you can really add some value to the telecast.
Yeah, it's one thing I've learned with with this Fanatic gig is that oftentimes I'm shocked oftentimes at some of the questions I get on Twitter, on the forums, just how educated the fans are these days. It's really hard once you get to the level that you're talking about. It's basically impossible to fake it. Let's move on. I want to talk about Iowa State and the quarterback situation. Sam Richardson named the starter on Monday by Iowa State head coach Paul Rhodes. We don't need to necessarily break down Sam Richardson and Grant Rohatch. I think that that's been done ad nauseum at this point. But my question for you is, being a former quarterback, because you've been in a situation like this, not necessarily at Iowa State, but I know you have in the National Football League, where you have two legitimate quarterbacks. You have two guys on a roster, and you think you can win with both of them. What is that like as a quarterback? Well, for the guy in Sam Richardson's position, and also in Grant Rohatch's, because there's two ways to look at it. It's a positive in the sense that you think you can win with two guys, and you've got options. But also, there's the whole, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one argument out there. Put yourself in the player's shoes. How does that affect you as a quarterback?
Well, I did have that scenario when I was at Iowa State. You know, my junior year, it was Derek Walker and I were battling for the starting job. Actually, there was a third quarterback. I can't remember his name. But Derek and this other quarterback were junior college guys. And we battled all spring and sort of came down to Derek and I for the fall. And we battled all during training camp. And during the season, there's still no, you know, true starter, I guess. And I started the first game, but we split reps, and then when we played Iowa, I think it was week two or week three, I think I threw a touchdown pass on one of the first plays of the game, and they just sort of left me into the rest of the game. I think they didn't want to take me out because we were winning. They wanted to sort of change up the way things were going. But, you know, the next game, I think we're playing at Missouri, and Derek and I split reps in that game too, and then he threw an interception, and I came in and did some good things, you know, winning that football game, and I was sort of the starter the rest of the season after that. So I definitely went through that experience where I wasn't always the starter those 2 years at Iowa State. I was splitting reps that junior year. And then going to my senior year, obviously I was sort of the guy, and they had moved Derek to linebacker. He was such a good athlete. And it was a different position for me. You know, you sort of felt you had more command of the team. You felt like, you know, the team was going to live or die by the way you played, and you should have more command of the huddle. But you know, still every day, I think what my junior year did to me throughout for my entire career, through NFL and the whole thing, was that tell me that every day I got to really show up and be on, you know, be on mentally and physically 100%, to not really sort of take any practices off. You know, some positions guys can sort of go, you know, 85, 90% some practices, they're not quite feeling it that day. But as a quarterback, if you're not totally on point every day, and to be really consistent, you have to be on it every day, because if you go 85-90% as a quarterback, your passes are going to be a little bit off, which completely changes the dynamic of the offense and of the entire practice. So that's one thing that junior year really taught me, is that I got to bring it every single day, and I carried that with me for the rest of my career.
So if you're Sam Richardson now, just based off of Iowa State's track record, and I know Mark Mangino is there, and I know it's different, but does looking over your shoulder all the time, because I know you said it was actually a benefit to you in the sense that you were constantly focused, but can it be a downfall too, in the sense, can it make a guy nervous? Can it make a guy tight? Have you seen that happen to guys over the course of your career?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my junior year, I was definitely, you know, nervous every time I went in there, every practice, every game. But you got to get over that, and that you got to overcome it, and you got to play, and you got to play well. And, you know, he should be looking over his shoulder a little bit. I mean, there's a guy behind him that can play well and play winning football, and he played really well the last two games for Iowa State, and I'm sure he thinks he should be starting. So my assumption is he needs to be looking over his shoulder, but there's a happy medium between constantly worrying about it and not being able to do your job. And he has to find a way to do his job and do it really, really well and excel every day to make it sort of a no-brainer that, you know, they can't take him out. And I think it starts off with winning those early football games and sort of, you know, solidifying his status as the guy on the team and sort of going from there. And, you know, but it's one step at a time. But he is in a position where he is a starter, but he's going to have to really, not that he hasn't earned it, but he's going to have to really earn the fact that he this year. And that's going to take a little bit of time. That's going to take, two or three or four really good football games early in the season for the whole team to go, okay, Sam definitely is our guy this year. He played well during training camp. He was named the starter, but now he has to go out there and solidify that spot.
You know, last year, Iowa State, there's no secret that how many injuries they had, not only across the board, but I would say specifically on the offensive line when you lose your leader in Tom Farniok early on. I mean, they had guys dropping like flies. They had guys out there who really had no business at that point in their careers playing in the Big 12. So my question to you is, it's natural, I think, for fans in the media to say, when talking about Sam Richardson and Grant Rohatch, to compare them to last year. How fair is that, though, when you not only how beat up the line was, but across the board it was a pretty shaky lineup. Is this a deal where you can just take bits and pieces from what you saw from those guys and bring it towards this season, or do you just as a fan, you just have to throw that out the window and see what they do when everybody's healthy on August 30th?
Well, I think you got to take the good things that they did last year and what they did, Sam last year and a little bit the year before when he finished, the 2012 campaign as a starter. I look at the good things that they did, and now it's a year later, it's 2 years later, and how they can improve on those good things and obviously fix some of the mistakes that they made and some of the learning experiences. I mean, they both played a lot as very young guys. I didn't play until my junior year. If I had to play when I was at State my freshman, sophomore year, I don't know if I would have, lasted for 4 or 5 years. It takes a while to really learn the game from high school up into a major college football. So I think you look at the good things that they did, and I think that they're going to, improve on those and the mistakes that they made and try to get rid of those. I think they have a great hire in Geno. I think that's great for the program. A guy who's, Paul Rhodes can now just sort of leave the offense go. It's not that he's not going to be paying attention to it, but, he can really sort of be hands-off now more than he ever was before. If he has a guy who legitimately is one of the better coordinators in the Big 12 Conference, he's got a long track record, very well-respected offensively as an offensive mind for years in this conference. And, he did, so many good things at Kansas, a place where, winning a football game is really hard to do at Kansas. Everyone was the basketball school. So, things that he did to win there. And, the quarterback's always played really, really well. And I think one thing Mangino does well is he figures out what his quarterbacks do and tries to, make use of those talents. I don't think he's going to try to stick a circle peg into a square hole. I think he's going to try to figure out what does Sam Richardson or Casey or the other kid do, Grant, and figure out what they do well and, make use of those instead of trying to go, okay, I want an option guy, or I want a guy who can run the ball, or I want a guy who's a pocket passer. I think try to find out the skills that they can do and make use of those, and I think Mangino has a track record of doing that.
So if I'm hearing you right, there's a redshirt freshman at Iowa State by the name of Joel Lanning. He's an Ankeny product, big kid, and that's what stands out to you about him when you compare him to the other two. He's just bigger. He's not a guy who I would think many Big 12 linebackers would be excited about tackling. The comparison that gets tossed around, and you got to use this loosely because the kid's never taken a snap, but it's Colin Klein, that style of runner and potentially what he could be as a quarterback. So when fall camp started, Paul Rhodes was very clear that this was a three-man competition. Lanning, I didn't think really ever had a chance just based off of knowledge of the playbook. Being such a young kid, brand new playbook with Mangino, he only had like 15 spring practices to get used to it. But from what I'm hearing you say, based off of your career, you think that him not having to play this early in his career would ultimately benefit him in the long run. Is that correct?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you don't need to play all 4 years of college football. I mean, if you play just, two or even three, I think that's a lot. And, I've said this many times in interviews and to family and friends, if I had to play in the NFL my first year or two in the league, I wouldn't have made it probably past that point. It's a huge transition from college to NFL, but it might be a bigger jump from high school to major college football. And, learning and getting your body physically to that level. I mean, you know, I didn't lift weights that much in high school. I know obviously kids do a lot more now, but it's a big transition, both physically, your body's maturing, and then mentally, getting used to college, getting used to the program, to where, you know, it sort of is your job. You know, in high school, it's a couple hours every day after school. Well, in college football, it's very, very different than that. It's all year long, and it's, you know, the weight programs are very, very serious. Now it's the film study and the playbook study, and then the practices are much longer, more difficult. So it's a big, big jump, and you know, if he doesn't play this year, that's probably fine. I think that Richardson and Grant are going to do fine this year, you know, whoever sort of ends up being, you know, the guy as the year goes on. I'm excited to see what their offense does this year. I had my concerns about some of the offensive things they did last year or the last couple years from a scheme standpoint, and I do know more a little more about Mangino's scheme and everything that I've seen in the past. It really, you know, paints the good signs for Iowa State, and that's exciting because I think that, you know, as I said before, he'll make use of the weapons that Iowa State has and not just try to, like, these are the plays that I run. Mm-hmm. He's going to say, okay, we have these guys at certain spots. We have a, you know, talented receiver at this spot, a talented tight end here, and this type of running back, and he'll try to make use of those skills and rather than trying to have everyone fit into his system.
Other than injuries last year, I mean, you just said that you had some concerns about this scheme. In your opinion, just sitting on the couch watching the Cyclones, what was wrong with that offense last year? I mean, clearly there were multiple things when you look at some of the statistics that they put up, but I mean, is there a few things that off the top of your mind that you thought were glaring issues with what they were trying to do?
Yeah, it's sort of too complex to sort of get into scheme things, you know, sort of over the phone or on the radio or whatever. But, you know, as an example, this is just my own opinion. You know, I mean, you know, Sam Richardson's a pretty good runner, but he's not Michael Vick or Michael Bishop or any of those types of guys. But, you know, I'm not a big believer in running your quarterback up the middle a lot. And, you know, they do that jet sweep play a lot where they fake it to the guy in motion, and then the quarterback's running up the middle for, you know, 3 and 4 or 5 yard gain maybe, and you know, getting hit by 3 or 4 or 5 linebackers and then having to get up and, you know, call the next play. And I think you really got to protect your quarterback. I think there's times where, you know, you want your guy to run, you know, but you want to protect him as best you can, get him on the edge and get him away from people, and definitely not running up the middle. If I had to run up the middle, you know, a lot in my college career, I would have lasted very long. And it made a lot of sense that Richardson was, you know, dealing with a lot of nagging injuries last year, the sprained ankle and other things.
This is a good segue because I wanted to bring up a couple of NFL topics because, as you mentioned, you worked some with the NFL Network, and that is right in your wheelhouse. And you talk about running quarterbacks, and you also mentioned how if you had to play early on, you wouldn't have lasted as long as you did in the league. Johnny Manziel clearly making headlines. Seems like every day you flipped off the Washington Redskins the other night. He's part of that quarterback controversy. I just wanted to get your opinion on him. Is he a – because I'm a Vikings fan, full disclosure. We've talked about this before. I'm a season ticket holder. I bleed purple, baby. And I was ticked, man. I wanted Johnny Football. I wanted to buy a Johnny Football jersey. That, and I wanted my tickets to be worth more if they would have drafted him. But the night of the draft, that's who I wanted. Now I'm starting to look at the situation a little bit closer, and I'm like, oh, maybe they know a little something up there in the Minnesota Vikings front office that I don't. But what Johnny Football, is he a bust, or does he have a nice career for the Cleveland Browns?
I actually think he's going to have a decent career. You know, I think he can play. I think he's just got a long ways to go. But I do think he's got certain skills that their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, is going to make use of. And Kyle's a younger coach. He's got a very creative mind. I played for him for 3 years down there in Houston. And I think he does a good job. I think that Johnny is just trying to sort of figure it all out. You know, I think he's learning a lot of things about the NFL, you know, from off-season stuff to playbook stuff to – you know, you can't flip people off. You know, there's a lot more TV cameras than NFL games, especially for Monday night games. I think there's something like, you know, 21 TV cameras for a Monday night football game, but, you know, maybe 11 for a regular season game. And, you know, only NFL players know those types of things. Regular fans don't know those things. So you definitely know when it's a Sunday night game or Monday night game, you basically just act like you're on stage the entire time, even when you're on the sidelines. So I think he's learned a lot about the game. I think he showed enough in those preseason games, at least to me, that you know, he has the ability to make some NFL throws and to run offenses and to understand the game. As I said, he's got a very good teacher in Kyle Shanahan. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I see why they did that with Hoyer. He's a guy who's been there and done it. They've been extremely hard first three games of the schedule. I can't remember what the teams they are, but they're three really tough teams. I think they're all basically Super Bowl, you know, contender-type teams. And so there might be something with that where they think, you know, if we go into those games with the young quarterback, he's just going to get destroyed and not see the blitz coming, those types of things. So, but I do like the way he runs. You know, I've been comparing the way he and RG3 run the last few days on different radio shows. And I, if I'm going to have a running quarterback, I very much prefer a Johnny Manziel type, a quicker guy who can escape but also can get down and, you know, can make a guy miss and has quick feet but not the straightaway speed. The RG3 is a track guy, so he's the long stride, straightaway speed, and you can tell when he's sort of in, you know, around other guys, he's sort of uncomfortable running because he's, you know, he wants to open it up, but, you know, that's not the way it is. Usually it's, you know, the more the quick feet and those types of things, it's really more RG3 or what Johnny Manziel has than RG3.
You mentioned their first three games at Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Baltimore. Those are his first three games. So, yeah, I think you're spot on. But I'm watching Johnny football, and I see, like, tweets of him and, like, Bieber hanging out and, you know, all this just extravagant stuff that you knew. I think if you draft him, you knew you were going to get that. But my question is, as a player, so if you're the Washington Redskins or you're the Baltimore Ravens, aren't other players going to, in a sense, like, target him? Do you know what I mean? And not necessarily, I'm not talking like Brett Favre, New Orleans Saints type targeting, but he's a guy I feel like you would, if you're a linebacker, if you're Ray Lewis back in the day, I feel like Ray Lewis would want to eat this kid's lunch. You know what I'm saying? Is that going to happen to Johnny Football?
Nobody wants a rookie who's arrogant at all, a guy who's never done anything and, you know, just had a good college career. And, you know, as I said, he made a lot of mistakes in the offseason. I hope he's learned from them. I know he comes from a very well-to-do family down there in Houston. I think his parents are in oil and gas or something, or down in Texas, you know, somewhere. So, you know, he's got a lot of growing up to do. And, you know, he used that excuse that I'm 21 years old and I do like to go out and this, that, and the other. But, you know, that's my biggest issue. I'm not really worried about the Johnny Manziel, the way he plays the game. And the way he sort of runs around a little bit and make things happen. And I think he's got some physical skills, and I think he does throw the ball pretty well. But I'm more worried about that, you know, the maturity thing. And, you know, to just use the excuse that I'm 21 or I'm young and I like to go out. You know, not too many NFL quarterbacks have had success in their careers, you know, being like that. And, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL, Sunday is not the hardest part. Sunday's where you sort of just go out and play, but you know, Monday through Saturday. You know, when you show up Monday and you've thrown two interceptions that cost your team the win, on Sunday you got to show up Monday for the film study and the media and you know, be around your teammates and try to regain that confidence that, you know, this week I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play better and I'm going to put the team on my back and we're going to win this week. You know, then it says, you know, then Wednesday you got practice, Wednesday and Thursday, and the team's all seeing how you respond and the, you know, the sort of the camera's always on you, even at practice. I mean, people are all seeing who's our guy and what's his confidence level and, you know, how is he as a leader and those types of things. And you have to lead by example at all times. And you know, a lot of players can get away with the things that he did this offseason, but the quarterbacks really can't. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky is a friend of mine. He's a backup quarterback in Detroit. And it's a tough comparison. He sort of compared it to the president. You know, the president is sort of on 365 days out of the year, even when he's on vacation in Martha Stewart or Nantucket or wherever these guys go, or Crawford, Texas. I mean, they're still on, they're still working. And, you know, when something happens, they got to be ready to go. And you know, the quarterback position is different than the other positions in that, you know, all year long, 365 days out of the year, and especially, you know, during the seasons and OTAs, we have to be 100% on every single day.
Let's go to Teddy Bridgewater, who I wouldn't say he struggled in his first preseason game, but he looked like a rookie. And, boy, second preseason game for the Vikings. Matt Castle looked like a Pro Bowler out there. And then you bring in Teddy, and he went like something like 6 for his first 7, something like that. I'm leaning towards Castle as a Vikings fan, based off of a lot of the reasons you laid out earlier, but it's another situation where, you know, the first time I feel like Matt Cassel throws three picks, or, you know, the first time if they start off 0-2 and they have two tough games, they've got to go to the Rams in week one with one of the top defensive lines in the NFC, and then they got the Patriots at home in week two. I feel like people are going to be calling for Teddy Bridgewater. If you're Mike Zimmer, how do you handle that situation?
Well, head coaches always know that the fans are always going to be calling for the rookie quarterback.
It's what we do, man.
The first or second round pick. They want to see what he has to offer. And, I think the best thing for Teddy is to sit free. I'm a big believer in that. Unless you have a real rare situation like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning when they were young. I mean, I think it's really best to learn. There's so many mistakes that you can make as a young guy. It's so hard to win football games in the NFL. It's really easy to lose them. And I think those are things that you learn. It's not, what are my reads and what are the blitz pickups. It's how you win and lose football games. And Matt Cassel's been there and done it. He's won his fair share. He's lost his fair share. He's been there. He's been pretty consistent over the years and actually played pretty solid football last year. I love their hire out there with North Turner. I played for North for 2 years in Miami. I think he's a great coach. He's had great running games in the past, with Damian Tomlinson and Emmitt Smith and Ricky Williams, and I was in Miami with him, and now I've got Adrian Peterson. So, he's done really good things to the run game. I think that's going to be sort of a big pickup for them from a coaching staff standpoint. But, I think Teddy, the lucky thing about Teddy is that when he was in college at Louisville, they had sort of an NFL-style system. When I was watching that Gruden camp, listening to him talk about his reads, I mean, he was talking NFL terminology, and you don't see that a lot of times during those interviews, that ESPN does. And, he has a fairly good command of NFL, NFL offense. So that's definitely an advantage that he had, I think, going into, his first year in the league. And, but I think the best thing for him to do is probably to wait. What's the big hurry to get him out there and to play him right away if Castle's playing good football? And Castle's sort of done everything that he can really do to solidify that spot. And, he sort of earned the right, I think, to be the starter. Bridgewater has played well. Just like when I played, if you play well as the backup when you're playing against the twos or even the threes, people go, oh, it's against the backups, but that is the truth. I mean, Bridgewater hasn't played against starter type guys, and it is a whole different level. The twos and the threes are definitely more similar than the ones. I mean, the ones is a different level in speed and how smart guys are and how quickly guys, pick up. You can't run the same play more than once or twice in a game. I mean, those linebackers see things so quickly and they pick things up so quickly that it's a whole different level. They're smarter, they're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger as the ones, and Castle's used to that, and it's probably best if Bridgewater sits at least for half the season.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your takes. Will you join us again? Can we get you back on the podcast here about a couple weeks into the season and get your take on the Cyclones? Sound good?
Yeah. That sounds great.
All right. Sage Rosenfels, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll have him back on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here before too long. Pretty cool right there to get one of the all-time greats to really ever put on an Iowa State uniform. I don't think that's a stretch. And Sage Rosenfels here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Again, we want to do more of that coming up in the future. We now have the capabilities to get people on via the phone. Good stuff like that. And we want to keep growing the podcast, too. And Matty Van Winkle, what's up, my man?
What's up?
You just produced the Sage Rosenfels interview. Was that as good for you as it was for me?
I was starstruck, man. Sage is a cool guy. He's a great
– Isn't he?
Brings a great insight, great perspective to this whole quarterback situation that Iowa State has going on.
And I like the NFL touch, mainly. I mean, it's good to get his take on Iowa State also at all times. But the fact that he played that many years in the league really is
right.
Cool.
I mean, it's not often you get to talk to a guy that's played in the league that played for Iowa State. So it kind of brings it home in both perspectives.
Yeah, no, it really does. Let's talk a little bit about what we're doing with this podcast, and we'll wrap the show up here in about 10 minutes or so. But we bought all new equipment. And we
state-of-the-art equipment.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good
top
stuff.
Top the line.
And we feel like there is an opportunity here. I always call this the a la carteization of America.
We're here to serve the people.
Well, you're younger than me, and it's been a good experience for me to be friends with you because I went through journalism school at Iowa State. Twitter didn't exist.
Right.
So there's so much that's changed. I thought that I was like this technologically sound dude coming out of college, and I was at the time.
You got an iPad mini.
I do.
I have one of those.
This is probably the best piece of technology I've ever purchased, to be honest with you. The iPad mini, I love it.
Yeah. I just use the iPhone. I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's a little small for me. This is like the size of Brent Bloom's phone, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a brick. He's got one of those like giant notebook Samsung phones. But no, we just feel – so last year when our iTunes numbers and our podcast numbers were so high, we're thinking this is kind of what people want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go to iTunes and you look around, this is – I really think, and I know you do too, we believe this is the future, because the cool thing about this is you download the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, you download the podcast, it goes straight to your phone.
Right.
It'll just download straight to your phone if you allow it to.
Yeah.
And then that way, I mean, pretty much any automobile anymore is Bluetooth capable, unless it's old. And you can listen to us when you're driving to work. You can listen to us when you're driving to your in-laws. If you're a student, you can listen to us while you're walking to class. And you know, with us, you're going to get Iowa State. You're going to get Big 12. If it's going to be something else, like I'm planning to do a couple with some guys from the beer industry around Central Iowa, you don't have to listen to it, but it's very, very much a what you want is what you're going to get.
Well, the nice thing about podcasts, too, is that you can take them anywhere you want, and you can listen to them anytime you want.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about iTunes as well is you can pull it up on your iPhone, your Android, and if you have iTunes, if you start listening to the podcast in your car on the way to work and you only get halfway done, and you have iTunes on your computer, it'll sync up right where you left off. I did this yesterday listening to you and Tommy.
Yeah.
You can play right where you left off in your car, and it'll remember where you were.
Isn't that insane?
It's crazy how technology has grown so much. And with these podcasts, like you said, we want to be able to tailor to as many people as we can and get to people, you know, if you're listening at work with your headphones, if you're, you know, doing a construction job, you're out on the construction site and you're listening to us. Just put your headphones in and you're ready to go.
And this is why, this is really one of the main reasons, other than the fact that he's insanely talented and it was a great addition to our team, but bringing Rob Gray on.
Right.
Because this free, I am not a beat writer. I'm not, that's just not what I've done it before. I can do it. It's not what I'm passionate about. This is the type of stuff that I really love. Mm-hmm. I'm a radio guy. And so now we've got Rob that's going to be doing the day-to-day coverage of Iowa State. And I'm going to be there too. I'm not going to disappear. But I want to put more of my time into building up the Cyclone Fanatic podcasting network, or whatever we call it. We want to eventually have this thing where we have live video. So you can watch us doing streaming live video. That's been a challenge, but we plan on doing that here in the next couple of months.
Yeah, down the road we're hoping to get live streaming audio and video. So you guys, if you're at home or you want to see, you know, if we have a guest in studio, if we're gonna bring, you know, Fred Hoiberg on the show, and you want to watch Fred, he'll be right there, and you can watch it as well as listen to it. You don't necessarily have to watch it. I know sometimes a lot of people, most of our viewers or listeners are at work when they're listening. So if you don't want to watch it, you just want to pull it up. We're trying to work with YouTube as well for the live streaming aspect. So we're working out a few technical things, getting faster internet in here, and hopefully in the next couple months, mid football season, we'll hopefully be able to get live streaming video. I think what we're going to try and do now is just get the podcast up, maybe get a live audio podcast in the future. But for right now,
you got to walk before you can run, is what I always say.
Exactly. And it's been a trial and error for us. Yeah. Bloom and I have been trying to, you know, work things out technically. And so far, so good, I think.
And the number one thing we want to do, and this is kind of my stance the whole time, you and Bloom are the tech guys behind this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put a crap product out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want it to, when we launch the video aspect of this thing, I want it to look good, and we will. And that's why, you know, we're the walk before you can run thing. And I appreciate your help though.
Yeah.
You and Bloom, we wouldn't have had Sage Rosenfels on the podcast if it weren't for Van Winkle and Bloom.
Right.
It's been a lot of nights here in the office trying to test this thing out. And you guys both have other jobs too, which makes me even more grateful you guys come in and help when you get off.
Well, it's fun because I've only been with the company for 3 or 4 years now, but just seeing it from when I came on, where you were at press conferences with your little camera, shaky camera, and when you brought me on, it's like, well, I brought my skills to the table.
As far as
video, and now we're trying to implement more in the podcast, and we've seen that grow.
Yeah.
And now we're trying to implement a little bit of audio and video. So the multimedia aspect of the site is going to keep growing, and we want to hear from you guys
Absolutely.
Too as well on the forums via email. You can email Chris, and We want to hear what you guys want. If you want more, if you like having guests, who do you want to hear from?
Yeah. I can't promise anything.
Right.
But I think that our nobody really has Rolodexes anymore, but I think that the contact list I've built up over the last 10 years, I'm confident I can get a lot of people on this thing, and I need to know who you want to hear from.
And we want to hear from you guys, too. Eventually down the road, we're hoping to get maybe being able to take your guys' phone calls or
absolutely.
Your messages as well.
I think we're going to be able to do that. I actually think that we're really close. We're going to have to implement the live portion of the podcast to be able to do that, but
right.
I think that we're close to being able to possibly do that. And also, I want to open up a hotline. I know that we're working on this where after games, you all can call and leave. This would be epic. But after games, you all can call and leave voicemails on just give your take, and it'll be
nice and
raw. And we'll take the best ones, and we'll put them on the podcast. But I would suggest just toning down on the Busch Light before you do that. But nonetheless, maybe not. Maybe it'll be more fun if you don't. Matt, thanks, buddy.
You got it.
I appreciate it. Matt Van Winkle here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Big thanks to Sage Rosenfels, former Iowa State quarterback, now budding football broadcaster, I guess is the way you put Sage. Great insight from him today. Want to tease, Rob Gray is going to be up at Iowa State's practice today. Rob Gray will have complete coverage of that with a little camp insider today and tomorrow. I'm working on a mailbag that will be up. Again, the big party coming up on Saturday night at Benchwarmers starting at 6 o'clock, where we'll be giving away a free pair of season tickets to the Iowa State football season and a whole lot more. It's on our front page right now, too, as far as details on that. So Benchwarmers in Ankeny, 6 o'clock. We hope to see you there. For Matt Van Winkle, for Sage Rosenfels, I'm Chris Williams, signing off on today's Cyclone Fanatic podcast.